I'd like for you to all know where I'm going, because last night I got up like something had risen up out of the earth. First of all, I would only like for all of you in this room to know that you're sons of God. I say hallelujah that we are sons of men also, but we are not the sons of men, Adam. There has never been but one race of the sons of God. There are two races of the sons of men. The fallen Adam race, sons of men, who will never know the life of God. But God Himself became a man. But it was the first Son of God who became a man. Then there became a new kind of man, and that was man with God in him. That was man with a Son of God in him. But brothers, I would say you are first sons of God. You are also a new race of men, not an old race. And you are also sons of God, the sons of men, not only sons of God. But frankly, brothers, a true son of God is a son of man. A true son of man is the son of God. You may think that that God Himself always intended to be spirit, and His highest desire was to be a spirit. I'm not clear that that's true. I'm not real absolutely certain. It may be in God's infinite working that I cannot understand. It may be that God decided that His highest expression would be not spirit, but something very physical and seeable. Do you realize then what that may mean? What? Tom, stand up. Then what would be God's highest expression? Man, now, do you understand that the highest expression of God Himself may well be not in spirit, but in His creation? That God's highest expression of Himself may be man. Does take that a little further, brothers, that the highest expression of God ever to be may be you. And that God has put Himself into you in order to express Himself. I would like to hear another name for the word man. David, stand up. Give us another word for the name man. Human? What's another one? Stick with the scripture, brother, not with UCSB. So, mankind, flesh, the highest expression of God expressed. Praise the Lord. You got one more word. The church. Praise the Lord. Say it.
Hallelujah, the church.
Praise the Lord. Now then, I would like to just say again to you, brother, are you important? Why are you important? Jack, come up here. Why are you important? Of God.
Of God.
All right. And what is that expression?
Church.
Praise the Lord. What
Praise
else
the Lord,
is
the church.
Brother, we are sons of God. Praise the Lord. More than that, even. You're important because you're sons of God. Now, I want you to grasp that, Jack. You are a son of God.
That's
while we're at it.
All right. Are you important? You can know how important a person is by who he is. What are you? You can know how important a person is by his position. What's your position? The highest position. Brothers, those all pale and insignificant in the light of Ephesians 1:18. And we're, you cannot sit still when you come to Ephesians 1:18. Let us take the United States of America. Is it wealthy? If you live in the Arabian desert, would you like to have the United States of America? Would that be nice? If you lived out in the desert somewhere, would you like to have Mount Everest right out in the middle for some cool, refreshing water? Why would you want Mount Everest in the desert? Because it is so rich. And it gives some shade, okay? And if you were very poor and you lived in some place like Zanzibar, no. If you lived on Madagascar, you think you would enjoy living in Switzerland? All right, why? Because Switzerland is full of riches and Madagascar is just the desert. Brothers, I feel that you feel that you are not really all that important to God. That when God marked you out as son, he said, praise the Lord for Brother Mark Kern. And he said, praise the Lord for Brother John. Praise the Lord for Brother Mike. But when he got to Ken Ripple, I think Ken feels like the Lord circled his name and said, oh, well. Sir, I know it, brother. Brother Mike, it is a sin in all of us that we just barely got in the door and even the Lord doesn't care whether we made it or not. Go ahead and say amen. That's right. It is our feeling. It's a lie. And we also feel as we work out our daily existence. There, the Lord is making so much progress in Sister Philip. The Lord is making so much progress in Sister Cheryl. And the Lord is making so much progress in Brother Mike. But the Lord is not making much progress in Brother James. Brother James. And Brother James feels like everybody is going to reach the mark except me. Praise the Lord, brother. That's how you must feel.
Then every brother and sister, there comes an hour
when you feel so defeated. My point is, though you may often feel that the Lord does not consider you as an important person. Brothers and sisters, he has arranged your life from the very beginning. He arranges it now and he will arrange it forever. He has arranged it. It is arranged. And he is working out his purpose in you. And you are more precious to him than you can possibly. How important are you to Jesus Christ? This morning when you woke up, though, you felt maybe the Lord took the Lord. Maybe you felt just because the Lord didn't such a contentious woman, surely he didn't love you. And such an awful husband. The Lord would pin the things he does upon your life. So often, brother, we get kind of down and we just get discouraged with ourselves. Right? We had a brother once who was talking to a very young church, and he got down on his knees before the Father, and the point
he was making.
He said, oh, don't look at these things. Drop that. That is something of your own nature. You must not stand in this place.
The Son came and died for you and forgave you your sins. Brothers, that's enough. It satisfied God. Let it satisfy you.
He has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. He has made peace with you. Be at peace with him. But then forget that too. And Brother Paul raises it up to a point that can almost not be comprehended. Paul says, Father, I pray for the brothers and sisters there in that city, that your eyes, the eyes of your deep spirit, that the eyes of your spiritual understanding might be open, that you might understand how rich Christ is to you, how much is his wealth to you, how rich a wealth Christ is to you, for he will be your supply in all things. That your eyes might be open, that you might see the infinite riches of the Lord Jesus Christ as a bountiful inheritance to you. Right? Wrong! No! That's not what he said! That's what you think he said! No! What did he say? That the eyes of your understanding might be open. Oh, what, brother? The eyes of your spirit might be open, that you might comprehend, that you might understand the riches of Christ's inheritance. Not yours. His. And he looks at you. And he says, how rich is my inheritance? How infinite is my inheritance? How wealthy it is! It supplies my every need. It is all I want. I, the divine God in Christ, am satisfied with my inheritance. How rich it is! May the eyes of your spirit be open. You might know how rich are the saints of God. How rich an inheritance you are to Jesus Christ. Brother Jack, how important are you? Pretty important, brother. Michael, how important? Important enough, brother, that when these earthly things touch us and when these worldly things come to us, brother, you stand before the Lord. Father, in your eyes, you should be rich. You don't see my sins. You don't see my problems with my wife or my husband. You. Rich. To you. That he longed for me. For I am so rich that he will have so much joy, so much infinite joy in receiving me as his inheritance. Well, brother, jump up out of the hole. For you're the sons of God. And as far as the reckoning of God is concerned, for in hell, you're the greatest of all inheritance. Praise the Lord.
I kind of want you to feel haunted by the spirit that I just was understanding everybody and everybody else is joining in and feeling like none of the apps. I want the type of prayer that you have, especially that we can to be know our inheritance. There's another word in there. You could take me up and make me feel like I am. And what I mean by that is that the phantom beings that are you in the world because the Lord Jesus.
He wants me to have eyes that really will open up and really see and walk as the Son of God and know something and not walk with questions and just follow the path of the phantom, but a real Lord Jesus that wants me to know how important I am to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brothers, now then, thank you, Brother Ian. Now, we are the sons of God. We are the children of God, and we are heir apparent to so much. But we are also an inheritance that will be inherited by Jesus Christ. Now then, I would like to go a little further and say, this is God's working out today. This is God's forever plan, his past plan, his present plan, his future plan. Now, brothers, there is a word we need to get a hold of, and that word is manifest. And that word is reveal. And that word perhaps also should be declared. In Romans 8, it says, when the sons of God shall be revealed. Are you aware of that verse? 8, about 19? Maybe somebody should get it out and read it to us. That we shall be revealed and manifested as the sons of God in the moment when the sons of God shall be revealed with glory, with glory, with glory. Yes, brother. Okay, the anxious revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. Is there a little bit more somewhere in that passage about the glory? There should be. Anyway, okay. Praise the Lord. Now, brothers, take the word glorious liberty and change it. That's not correct. It is the glory. No. The liberty of glory. Into the liberty of glory. Into the liberty of glory. We shall be glorified. There is going to be a revealing. And there is going to be a glorification. Let me just say, Paul has said, I am preaching to you a gospel of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son, Jesus Christ, who was made after the seed of David according to the flesh. Now that's his humanity, Romans 1:3, his humanity. Then Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now then, what will happen to us has happened to Christ. Christ, who is the seed of David. Brothers, you are the seed of a man. Also, the Son of God. You have to have the seed of God in you to be a son of God. Now then, last night, brothers, I perhaps would like to go over this with you just very briefly. I mentioned to you last night a racetrack. and a man is standing there waiting to declare who will be the winner, right? Isn't it strange that Jesus Christ had to be declared the Son of God? Do you notice his reluctance to call himself the Son of God in the Gospels? There are many reasons for that, but one of them is he had not yet been declared the Son of God. The Father said, "This is my Son in whom I have well pleased." But that was the Father's opinion. He had not fully been proven to all the demons, to man, the principalities, things under the earth, things on the earth, and things in the heaven, to be the Son of God. To be born incarnated, the proof begins. To live on this earth 33 years without sin, it's growing. To live without temptation, it's mounting. To face the cross and give in to it, that's divine. Only divinity does that. To die, the question's raised. Is he the Son of God? Then, brother, he burst forth from the tomb. And the checkered flag goes down, the winner.
Amen.
And up on the board it says, Jesus Christ, the winner, he's the Son of God. It's declared. Christ, the Son of God. Now, brothers and sisters, that very day, two men met him on the road to Emmaus. Did they recognize him? Why? Why? Praise the Lord. He had been altered. Brother, something deep inside had been liberated. You think deep within you is your spirit. It is. But that spirit is working and working and working to declare you a Son of God in fullness. Spirit gets into the soul, brother. Then one day, there's the glorification. Brothers, it begins with the seed of regeneration. It ends with glorification. It begins, brothers, it begins with the Spirit being put into you. It ends with that Spirit being revealed. Jesus Christ had been altered. He had been changed. Brothers, I'll tell you, even that change grew. Until, and we'll get to that later, there is so much of the evidence of the inner on the outer. That which is divine deep within has been liberated through the soul. But it has come further than the soul and it has come out and burst forth in the glory of a new transformed body. And that which is deep within the very God now hangs loose, expressed, freed, liberated, out in the soul, and from the soul, even a body of light. Declare the Son of God with power, raised from the grave. David, it is the eternal purpose of God to do the same thing with you. Praise the Lord. Brother Dan, I don't know if it has ever crossed your mind. You have a father, and you have a grandfather, and a great-grandfather, so on and so forth, right? And yet, Dan, do you realize that you also have another father? There is no one between you, no grandfather, no sons, but you have a father, and he is God. And you are a son of God. And all that he has established to do and done in his son, Jesus Christ. To you, my brother, Dan, 16 years old, he has established to do it. And you too. Praise the Lord. The youngest among us to the oldest. The Lord is going to work out the glorification of his sonship. Dear sister, how old are you? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. Praise the Lord. Sister, I want you to know something. That God took all the power that he had in the universe and put it behind Jesus Christ to establish him as the Son of God. But he also did it to establish that in you, one of his finite creatures, he would do all in you that he has done in his firstborn, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Are you important? Now, brothers, I'm just going to change the subject for just a moment and say, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, this is God's marvelous plan. This is God's marvelous desire. Right. As far as that goes, according to his final record book, not the first one and the second one, but the last one, it has already been sovereignly declared that Sandy Womanum has been made full joint heir with all that Christ was, is, and shall be. Yes. Brother, something is happening. Just as Jesus Christ went around the racetrack and somebody had a checkered sign. Brother, you're going around the racetrack. And somebody has got a checkered flag. And you're coming up, brother. Believe it or not, you're head of the whole pack. And you and the whole band's grandstand, many, many witnesses are waiting for you to be revealed to be and manifested to be and declared to be sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Okay? But I will just like to say right now, the Father, and you have heard me say this before, may I say it again? The Father had a secret. And from time to time, he would, and it worried them all. No. It worried them all. They kept looking. What is this? A secret. And they couldn't quite, and they would shake their head. What is it? Lucifer would poke Beelzebub and say, what was that? And Beelzebub would say, I don't know. And Lucifer said, I was afraid of that. And then that poke. I'm making all this up. There's no theology in this. Satan. And they'd say, Satan, what was that? And he'd wipe his brow and say, I don't know either. And he'd look out at one of the little demons and say, hey, little demon, what was that? And the little demon would come and say, well, if you don't know, I'd expect me to know. a mystery. Mystery hidden from the principalities and powers, mystery hidden from creation, mystery hidden from man, mystery hidden from everybody. What was it? Nobody knows for sure. But one thing for sure, God had an enemy and he wanted very, very much. I'm talking about Ephesians 2 right now. He wanted very, very much to thwart God's purpose, whatever it was. So every time he saw the Lord move, he'd stop it. Every time he'd see him move again, he'd try to stop that. And all he did was lose bigger and bigger and bigger. Sir? Praise the Lord, brother. You'd been better off if you left him alive. Because now, there's not one son of God. There's a whole room full. Which was made possible through the resurrection from that death. Okay, brothers, a mystery. And in the mystery, wisdom. God's wisdom. God had great wisdom. Divine wisdom. Not human wisdom. I've said to you many times that God is essentially very simple. I am the philosopher. I can quote verses of Scripture. I can tell you what to do. God is very simple. He is not only simple, but he's very wise. He is wisdom. And he had a wise, wise plan. And now he has hidden it from the ages. But he wishes to make it manifested. And how and will he do it? Yes, we all know, brothers, how he will do it. Brothers, do not think that the Lord is bothered by the fact he's got an enemy. The Lord is not bothered. This is all Ephesians 2. He is not bothered by the fact he has an enemy. You and I wish he didn't have an enemy. God glories in having an enemy. We all lived on the moon. We picked up big old stuff and threw it a half a mile. We wouldn't think so much of strength. But if we all live on the earth and we can only throw it a few inches and then we go to the moon and we throw it for half a mile, then we can marvel, can we not? I'm trying to move towards something. If someone comes in and he does something so flawlessly, so effortlessly, we have no appreciation of it. We only know the glory and the power as we come to appreciate the difficulty. Brothers, God could never express his glory without an enemy. Where would be the glory in what God did if he had no enemy? You've got to have something in comparison with. You understand? If there is no in comparison with, there is no glory. God is very delighted to have an enemy. For by the enemy we can measure the Father. By the enemy and his great power and his strength and his cunning, we can know the wisdom of God. Who would have ever thought there was wisdom in this? Who would have ever thought there was wisdom in the fall? Who would have ever thought there was wisdom in the cross? But brothers, we can see it all. And the glory of God is revealed as we see in comparison to the enemy. Now, brothers and sisters, God is going to have many sons in glory. Not in some glorious place called glory. No, I mean, you understand? We're going to have many sons in glory. We're going to all run around heaven. No! He is going to have many sons in glory. As a bush burns in the fire, as the sun burns in the sky, so man declared to be the sons of God shall be in the midst of. Magnify, possess, reveal, and release, and be in and part of the glory of God. He shall have many sons in glory. And brothers, all that the Lord has planned, all that the Lord has purposed, He will reveal it and has chosen now. Now, in the fullness of time, to make known the mystery. The mystery. By the church. So, brothers, here in Goleta, California, God is making known to the principalities and the powers the mystery. That they, the principalities and the powers, might know the wisdom of God. Brothers, I say to the Lord, thank you, Father, for the privilege. I gladly, Lord, make known the wisdom of God, hidden as a mystery from the foundation ages. Brothers, He is revealing it today in you and me. Now how? It's very simple. He has put a spirit in you, and now He is working that spirit into your soul. One day, brothers, He will fully reveal in light the full glorification of His Son. Brothers and sisters, in the city, that the church might make known to the principalities and the powers the wisdom of God, hidden as a mystery from the foundation of the ages. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, this is the church. It is God in you, working His Spirit out from your spirit into the full transformation of the soul until He has brought many sons to glory and until the earth is full of the sons of God who receive all the inheritance, which is everything, and are received into Christ as the rich, rich, rich inheritance that Christ received. Well, brothers, now we must move on. This is the Ephesians. This was written to a young church. We must move on. Brothers, how shall He do it? I just want to say to you tonight, brothers, right now, right here on this earth, corporately, togetherly, do you understand, onenessly, together, corporately, onely, God will make known the infinite riches of His wisdom to the principalities and the powers through the church. In us, He will reveal. Together, He shall do it. That's you, brother. That's me, brother. That's you, sister. God will do this thing before the principalities and the powers. And He will do it corporately, which will add insult to injury. He shall do it in unity and corporately. And there's not a one of us here given too much to corporateness. And not one of us given so much to unity. Every one of us given to a lot of opinions. Every opinion varying quite numerously from the other opinion. Yet God shall reveal through the church the wisdom of God. Brother, and through the church, I just introduced this word to you tonight. It shall be through the church I am going to say something to you this week you have never heard before. Brothers, through the church, he shall also accomplish the manifestation of the sons of God. He shall reveal them to the universe through the church. The wisdom of the mystery will be revealed through and by the church. Brothers and sisters, I just want to stop again and say the earth waits for the church to reveal. God waits for the church to reveal. Christ waits for the earth to reveal. And, brother, right now, the Lord's Spirit is deep in your spirit, working, 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 working for the transformation of the soul, that he might give the transfiguration of the body. Praise the Lord.
This is more than a message. Brothers, it's an invitation into life in Christ. Click here to experience another message from Gene Edwards.